Tagawa sends us out with a bang. And don't worry, Cameron, this is the penultimate episode. You're almost there, son. My name is Jarvie, and I'm joined this week by Cameron, Hammy, and Simon. Together, we are the Broken Hearts Club Band. How we doing, boys? I've just made my made dinner for the first time this year, feeling very sophisticated.
What'd you make?
Lebanese meatballs.
Nice.
HelloFresh is back in town, baby.
As you already know, I'm a big fan of dinner. Still have dinner every night.
Lucky, you're just showing
off. Posh bastard, man.
Showing off, but I'm feeling good, but not as good as you boys who were at, all three of you, cheers for bumping me. But at hospitality on Saturday, did you have a nice time?
Oh, could get used to that life. I've had a taste of how the other half live, and I'll probably just gee Colin or Gary a wee text, see if they're up for it next season.
All the Garys. You've got stories of several Garys now I think about it.
Aye. Getting pretty known around Gorgie Farm.
the Gorgie Garys.
The Gorgie Garys. But we'll come on to it in a wee bit more in a minute. Hearts Monitor, first of all, I want two from you. I want your general Hearts Monitor a week on and after that draw against Rangers. And separately, give me your marks out of 10, just for the whole season, considering everything.
I am sitting at a 10 after the hospitality weekend. I'm feeling very proper Hearts, man.
Mm-hmm.
And for the season, I'm going to go 9. I feel like the performances in the cup take it down that one step. But looking back over the results, 2 wins against Celtic, meant nothing but the draw against Rangers. That's 7 points off the Old Firm this season. Didn't lose to Hibs. No bad.
Very well put. What about you two?
I think I have to go up because I enjoyed hospitality that much. So it's been a solid 9 of a season for all the points that Simon so eloquently laid out.
Nice.
I'm similar. Ended it on a high. Hospitality was good, but the game itself, 3-3. Coming back, last minute equaliser against Rangers, it feels like we won.
So, yeah.
All good. And yeah, no, it was third place, 2 semi-finals, great season. 9 for the season as well.
Good. And I'm tens, and Paddy would be tens. There you go. That's all very rosy. You can tell we've almost been in a very reminiscing mood here as we're on our last ever look back at a game of football podcast. But yeah, Cameron, just to take it down a notch, kangaroo court, which Australian footballer do you hate the most at the club?
None of them. None of them.
Hey. Oh.
Say it for the record right now. Nathaniel Atkinson is what at football?
Playing
football, yeah.
Hey.
Couldn't quite get the word good out of you, could we? Shame for wee Nathaniel. It's quite weird when you just say Nathaniel, not Nathaniel Atkinson. He doesn't look like a Nathaniel. But he does look like a Nathaniel Atkinson.
He does look like a Nathan, though.
Yeah.
Certainly not a Gary.
No, he's not a Gary. Too many Garys in Gorgie anyway, as we've well established. But he's had a great time in hospitality, punching fuck out Rangers fans, and even some wags at one point. What was going on? There was literally fights in every section of hospitality all game.
Not our bit.
As much as I tried.
As insiders, talk us through it. What was going on?
So, this is all like fifth-hand news, but supposedly, I don't know if they were Hearts or Rangers fans, but 2 people got into it in like the friends and family section. A man went to slap another man, missed, slapped. Supposedly Oda's partner, and it all kicked off of there. The security didn't really do anything until Gary Mackay started chucking people out, and then the security started sort of helping him. And then obviously at the end of the game, there was the Rangers fans fighting the Rangers fans. It was all great.
It was a It was a glorious sunny afternoon. Men being men. we ended up on a big day out, night out. It was planned after the game as well. And if this is my first 2 day hangover for a long time. Not great, but a fantastic day and night. But some other intel from your time in hospitality, boys. Tell us what you've heard about Craig Gordon for the summer.
If it's what you're talking about, I think that I actually got my info from Jambo's Kickback that I then spread around hospitality.
We were right, so if anyone, on Saturday, sorry.
If anyone's heard it, it was me. I started it. But I did read that he's been told by Steve Clarke that he's not going to the Euros. Which, when you couple that with the fact that Xander Clarke then came in for this game, was a bit weird. I did actually, on that point, I did read something else. There is a specific reason why Stephen Kingsley played it right back as well. Funnily enough, not played there all season, but played there a week before the Scotland squad was announced, and Hickey's out. Rumours, hashtag rumours.
Very interesting. Hickey out. And Nathaniel Patterson.
Yeah.
Out as well. A very good chance Kingsley can make that camp. Interesting. I think it's Wednesday that the squad's come out, isn't it?
Is that the full squad announcement on Wednesday, eh?
Yes. Midday.
Ooh. Exciting.
Sky Sports News, just for anyone who's really wanting to know.
Well, I wanted a good release video like last time.
Well, Xander Clarke will definitely be on the plane. Yeah, Scotland's number two. But Angus Gunn has finished the season in pretty poor form, like.
He's nailed on.
He's nailed on.
I know.
You never know.
As much as I do, like, Xander has something at the event night we were at last week, it was said Xander Clarke's had 15 clean sheets this season as well. He's had a... Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but he has had a pretty decent season. And I know what you mean with Angus Gunn. He's not... I can't see it, but... Hey, we've got a couple of friendlies coming up. Chuck Xander in the nets. And he played very well. I know he let in three, but he did play very well at the weekend.
Every goal was an absolute screamer, though.
Yeah.
Aye. Ross McCausland goal was very good. So Xander will be there. See what happens with Craig Gordon. Lauren Shankland, he's definitely on the plane. Do you think he could be starting?
Yeah.
Based, how much is it going to be based on these next two friendlies?
I just don't see... I mean, the only argument I understand, to be honest, is that Steve Clarke has a way of playing, but Dykes and Adams play completely differently, and he seems to rotate them pretty freely. So I don't think the whole argument really has much water to it. I do think Shanklin is the best out of the three, but I'm biased.
I don't watch much English football at all, but I was doing some research for the pod. It looks like QPR fans... I'm not sure if Dykes is actually out of contract. It shows you how much research I did. But they are certainly wanting Dykes out of the squad and wanting to see their striker updated. Because he's only got 7 goals in 41 games in the championship, and they finished like third bottom or something. Pretty shit. Che Adams had quite a few goals, 17 goals in 46 games, which isn't bad. He's a free agent in the summer, and apparently it's a Jimmy Dunn deal that he's going to Wolves.
Sound.
He is a Premiership player. Like,
yeah.
I think Shankland will certainly be getting minutes. And I think he could start one of the three games.
Aye. He's definitely the best finisher out of the three of them.
Aye.
I just don't see Clark starting him in that opener.
No.
No, I wouldn't think so. So there's some other rumours came out of Saturday about Wrexham being a serious option for Lauren Shankland.
I have no idea what sort of money they offer.
I think some serious cash. So that's them up to League One now.
They're still bound by, I only know this because of the Wrexham TV programme, but they are bound by pretty strict rules with money. They can't spend fortunes. I think it's something like 60% of their revenue or something they can only spend.
So or wages,
I mean.
Mm-hmm. Still, what Man City doing? Just cheat. just ignore the rules.
Yeah.
I still think he'll be like Saudi or something like that.
Rangers.
Big money. No.
So I work with about 30 Rangers fans, and they're like, it's already done. Like, no, it's fucking not. Like, yes, trust me. Like, who's your source? Trust me.
Me, it's got something like Sunderland written all over it.
Aye, aye. I think you'll be down south, I really do. On Shankland, Mark Donaldson from Scarce Round the Funnel was talking about a contract offer, like a new improved contract offer for Lauren Shankland, up to $14,000 a week, which is wages and bonuses. A wee bit shan when you think about how like public some people's salaries get aired like this. But I think it's important to know that we have, if that's true, that we've put $14,000 on the table for him, which would be, you know, by far our highest earner, and rightly so. And if he does decide to move on, I think at $14,000 a week, you'd have to say we've done all we can.
Aye. They were talking about upgrading the squad, like the playing squad, now that we've got money from Europe and there doesn't seem to be many projects left to build. So maybe that's the first stage, and sort of resetting the wage structure.
Mm-hmm. Strengthen the whole spine of the team with some higher yeah. earners. $14,000 a week on the table. He's not going to... It would be silly for him to jump into it and sign it, because in a week he could get offered $24,000 a week.
Yeah.
Very good chance he gets that type of money down south as a striker that's just scored 31 league goals. Not league goals. He's done me a fortune, Simon. 31 goals in a season. Good chance he gets over $20,000 a week down south. Like, so.
Do you know, something just came at me. An ex-player I was speaking to.
No.
Starts with G or something. I don't know.
Gary.
He mentioned something in passing, right? And I never really thought of anything. You know what he said? He said, Lauren Shanklin's meeting up with the Scotland squad and hearing that Billy Gilmour's on $20,000 a week and he's coming back here knowing he's not getting that money. I just looked up and Billy Gilmour does apparently paid $20,000 a week. So maybe that's his target. Should we pay him $20,000 a week?
Doesn't seem that much for a Premier League player as well. That seems pretty reasonable.
Did you just say Billy Gilmour's coming back up here and getting $20,000?
No. I wish.
Well, you're about to say he was going to Rangers or something. I was like, oh,
I guess I'm saying if Shankin wanted $20,000 a week, is that too much?
I would have thought Billy Gilmour was on a lot more money than $20,000 a week.
Me included. But $20,000 for Shanklin, I don't think it's too much. I don't think we can afford it, though.
I think there's always, and it's easy for us to kind of, you know, say, oh, pay him whatever. Like, there is that element that as soon as you do pay over the odds for somebody, everything becomes more difficult. Because the next person you bring in wants that money, or the current playing squad, there'll be guys there that go, well, if he's getting that, I want a percentage of that. And it's a difficult balance. I get that.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a jump as well, isn't it? So, yeah.
We'll see what happens. It does feel like it's over. Must say. But Lauren Shanklin did pick up yet another award. During the week, he was named as Scottish Football Writers Player of the Year, which is quite a big award. Don't know why. All the writers just write about Rangers all the time. So that's all five major awards with him now. The PFA Players Player of the Year, Cinch Premiership Player of the Year, Players Player of the Year, and the Fans Player of the Year. However, Celtic fans remain adamant that it's all wrong and it should have been Matt O'Reilly who won the lot.
Maybe just focus on the fact that he actually won real trophies.
What more? He scored 31 goals for Hearts. Shut up, Celtic.
They always put out that, like, they look at all the trophies that they've won. Aye. Like, but we were talking about Anthony Ralston. He'll be on for 6 in 3 years. That doesn't make Anthony Ralston a good player.
I mean, when even Santa's on your side, Jesus.
I never knew Santa was Catholic either.
You've seen it there. The Holy Spirit and all. Shankland also won, has officially won the Golden Boot for most league goals scored. He's the first Hearts player to receive that since John Robertson. So think of all the strikers that we've had since John Robertson, from like Ricardo Fuller, Roman Bednar, Felichka, the season's Will Scatchell's goals, even Kyle Lafferty, Stephen Naismith. There's always been strikers ahead of them until now. It's bizarre. So good on him.
Is he the first player to score 20 goals back-to-back in the SPFL? Am I right in thinking that?
No comment. I doubt
I'm
that.
Pretty sure. I think he is.
What about Larson?
That wasn't the SPFL. That wasn't the SPFL.
Was it not?
That was before it changed.
It was the SPL when it made sense.
Aye.
It's a bit much better name.
Aye.
Bye. Good football player, like
Henrik Larsson. Aye.
Oh, hi.
Benny Beningame signed a new contract with the club, so he's here.
Jarvis backtracking.
I'm really happy with that. I think he's a terrific footballer. aye, he's staying. But as Paddy says, don't back down, double down. I've got to say, I do think we can do better in the summer. I think Benny can become a squad player.
I like Benny, he's great, but he is very specified and he isn't often available. So I think the 2-year contract's perfect. It gives us a chance to, it gives us both a chance. Like, we get 2 years to see, like, right, can you stay fit? We're not tied down for ages. Benny gets 2 years to see if he could do it and then maybe move down south for free.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think it's
be ancient.
I think it's good for everyone, like, I really do.
Yeah.
And I would expect Benny by a cup final next year. If we're in the Scottish Cup final, I'd expect a fit Benny would be still in our strongest 11.
Aye.
You know. So we'll see. We shall see. But good on him. Happy about that. Someone pointed out that this will be, assuming he stays fit, this will be Benny's first pre-season at Hearts. How mad is that?
That just speaks about what we were just saying.
Like that. Yeah. I feel like he's been at Hearts for the same time as Peter Haring. He's probably never had a pre-season at Hearts either.
He came in like the day we beat Celtic and played in that game.
Yeah.
When we played in front of nobody. Yeah.
Pretty impressive, eh?
Mm-hmm. It's formally been confirmed then that Peter Haring, Andy Halliday, and Michael McGovern's time at Hearts has come to an end. Peter Haring had his farewell moment on Saturday there, and you quite enjoyed his speech, Simon.
I wasn't there. So I don't think it was me who said that.
I remember you slagging it on Saturday night.
Well, I wasn't, because I didn't see it.
Yeah, he didn't specifically say a favourite moment he had.
Oh, that was Jimbo.
Right, I think everyone was slagging. Yeah.
You've just started inventing things, eh?
But he's gone. And he'd done a wee speech after the game. It's nice. Andy Halliday, he'll always be remembered fondly for the Andy Halliday derby and some other big moments. Done well in Europe. Got a big game player for us. Andy Halliday.
Versatile.
Very versatile. Kind of complain about him. And Michael McGovern will go down in club history. One of them, arguably better than Craig Gordon. the Foundation of Hearts have been asking for your nominations for the most consistent performer this season, which is an interesting one. And this is one we didn't make our predictions for at the start of the season.
This is made up.
The Foundation of Hearts is asking them for it.
I just say the best player.
But I don't know, because I don't think you necessarily say it's Shankland. who's obviously our best player. Do you would say Shanklin's our most consistent player?
This season, aye.
Okay. Hammy, Cameron?
I'd say Kent.
I would say Scott Fraser has been consistently disappointing.
So you're saying Kent, and I'd maybe even say Kingsley. Don't think he's dropped below a 7 out of 10 all season.
I don't think he needs to be consistently good, though. He can be consistently anything.
Yeah. But Kent's probably going to win that award, looking at the feedback. That's a wee interesting one. And yeah, next week on our last ever podcast, we will look back at our season-long predictions. I can vaguely remember some of them, and they're going to be bad. Real bad.
I honestly cannot remember a word I said.
Yeah, I think Tagawa's saved our skin a wee bit for some of us over the last week there. So I look forward to that next week, along with a big quiz. I'm going to start working on it tomorrow. I'm going to make a proper effort again. Then absolutely fuck it up on the night after drinking one can. And also, Cameron, your old uncle, Jolly, could be making an appearance next week, I've heard.
I didn't think he was my uncle. I thought he was everybody's uncle.
Yeah, I cannot admit. He might be making an appearance next week, is that right?
I know as much as you do, mate.
Interesting. We'll see. It'll be a star-studded affair anyway, I'm sure.
Big gala.
Oh, we've got some special guests lined up.
All the Garys.
Oh, every single Gary and Gorgie.
Paddy. He's pretty special.
We should have said, sorry that Paddy's not here tonight. He is alive. I know we just had a night out, so some listeners might be worried. He's fine. He's just working.
To be fair, there was moments we were all worried.
Hi. Hi. There's so many things we can't say about Saturday night, I think. As usual. I've recently been talking about how heavily infiltrated our squad and club is by Rangers men. Kamar Roof, Borna Barisic, Liam Balogun and Alex Lowdy are all free agents this summer. Cameron, we had a wee conversation about Borna Barisic. Could he be the answer to our right wing back problems?
I mean, he would probably be all right. I think he would.
He could do a lot worse, to be fair.
I don't think we could probably pay what he'd want wage wise, but.
How old is he?
31.
Oh, it's young. So young.
But yeah, one of your oddly better offerings. The rest of them, the rest of them, no thanks.
Yeah.
But Ryan Jack?
He needs to go to hospital. He needs a long lie down. There's Ryan Jack. But Tate Barisic, Liam Balogun, I actually think he's retiring now. And Kamar Roof is less fit than Craig Halkett. And we even got to try before you buy Alex Lowdy, and 70% of the fan base thought he was shite.
I think it's probably about 99.9, you being the 0.1.
Alex Lowdy is like the, he's had the same treatment as Andy Irvine from our fan base. People don't know what to do with a creative midfielder at the club. They just get angry about them.
Oh, how I'm not going to miss going into this summer and you talking about Jordan Jones.
Saving it for next week. Aye, Glasgow Celtic won the league again. A big congratulations to them. They absolutely trashed the city centre after they won the football.
Good.
Hibs are falling apart at the seams. Nick Montgomery's been sacked since the last podcast. Malky Mackay came in in the Craig Levein director of football role. And two of our mates that have had season tickets at Easter Road for the best part of a decade are cancelling their season tickets.
How long before they bring in Michael Beale?
Oh, it's delicious. Absolutely incredible. Now, Cameron, you and I made a bet on Saturday night. that I found in the notes of my phone. And I can vaguely remember it, and it's absolutely rotten. So, inscribed in my notes, I have. Have a guess between you two, Hammy and Simon. Who do you think would be owing who? Who do you think set this bet up thinking who will, on what side, right?
So I kind of remember this being set up, I think.
So if Hearts sign Kevin Van Veen
or
Kevin
Nisbet, yeah,
this summer, then you owe me a tenner if either of them join Hearts.
Wait, I was on the... Oh, wait, I'm the ante of signing them.
Of course you're the ante one.
Yeah. You just want to send me your tenner now?
Well, there's more to this bit. If we sign both of them, then you owe me £30. But if we don't sign either of them, I'll just owe you a tenner.
I mean,
I said this to you at the time. I was like, I mean, I don't think it'll happen, but if it does, it's a bit unfair.
It's also not going to happen. Like, at worst, we sign Kevin Nisbet. Kevin Van Veen is not coming to ours.
Listen, we shall see.
That guy didn't get a game for Kelly when he came in.
That's a smashing bet. That's hilarious. No, I'm going to just... I might as well give you a tenner now. But you never know. We were talking about Kevin Nisbet loads on Saturday night. Life after Shankland.
Post Shankland era. No.
And just finally, Tagawa's double over the last week, just to talk about it here. What a crowning way to see out the season, eh?
Who would have thought that the very last touch by a Hearts player in this season would be a Tagawa goal?
It was so fucking good.
Brilliant.
Insane. Oh, it's been... It was... The Rangers game was so much fun. So much fun. Speaking about some football, Simon, the St Mirren game, first of all, I don't even have any notes for it, but we'll just say Liam Boyce was back on the bench. There was no Benny. We were quite concerned. I was like, ah, fuck him, he's gone. That's him back down the road. There was no Benny, which was concerning, and Tagawa was indeed starting up front.
Toby Peter Sibbick also played.
Mm-hmm.
Dexter, yeah, Scott Fraser started. It's like...
Wild.
Aye. Was 2-2. Tagawa scored, Shanklin scored, obviously. St Mirren are pretty good. I really think we should be trying to get O'Hara. Every time I see him, he's one of the best players on the pitch.
Nah.
Ah, he's good.
We've got better. We've got Spittle and Dander. There's no room at the inn.
They play completely different roles.
I don't care.
He's also a fucking unit.
He's a big tall boy, yeah?
Aye.
Well, but he's probably stood next to Cammy Devlin, Aidan Denham, the Collie Tate. Well, what else can you say? Who cares? Submitting game feels like a lifetime ago. Liam Boyce being back is good?
Yep.
Or is it?
Aye. Could be.
He's not done much, having a wee look. Well, he's had about 30 minutes in over the last two games there, if that.
Yeah, good for him to get a pre-season again. He's been out a very long time.
Yeah, exactly. I should have said Scott Fraser. Someone say there is a note, like a footnote somewhere, confirming that he's leaving in the summer.
On the programme, when you opened the first page, it said thank you and goodbye, and it had a photo of Dexter, Haran, McGovern, Halliday, and Scott Fraser.
I guess they have to, just because they're end of their loans.
Oh. That's good.
Dexter could come back and play on the wing.
Paddy was right for once.
Paddy has said, since we've seen him, he's a winger, not a defender. And it is bloody true.
Ah, he was fucking great at right wing.
Yeah. Good Paddy.
He is very right wing. Get what he did. He could not stop talking about fucking Brexit on Saturday night, man.
It's funny because if you know Paddy, he's the biggest lib. Nice at Mirren, Scott Fraser's away, etc. The Rangers game. A clean sheet against Rangers would have seen our most cleanest, sheetest season since we went into this league format in the early 90s. But sadly, it was not to be. It's pretty close, though. Hearing three screamers.
Ah, you made some phenomenal saves as well.
Aye, Clark had a great game.
He did. Xander Clark came in, Kingsley at right back, mm-hmm. Kent and Rolls and Cochrane at left back, and then Benny and Cammy Devlin in the middle, and then sort of Shankland and Barry Mackay attacking mid, and then up front was Oda and Vargas. Like Shankland.
More importantly, I had French toast to start.
Oh, he did.
Then I had some champagne with that. And then afterward, well, there was pies at half time. And a wee cake. And then I had soup. And then it was monkfish. And then I finished with a donut.
That's nice. What did you drink at half time?
Pints.
Aye.
How many pints do you squeeze into a 15-minute half time?
One.
Was it?
It goes so much quicker than you think.
I'm still surprised.
Somebody got two drinks.
Two double gins.
Well, I was completely set up a fucker. I asked for a gin and tonic and she was like, just one. So I was like, right, I'll have two. And then one of these idiots went, why don't you just get a double? And then they went, why don't you just get two doubles? So they brought me two doubles.
So you had two double gins?
Well, I had one.
But was the other one just still sat waiting for you after the game?
No, there was another fresh two when I came back after the game.
Ideal. Ideal. Disappointed you would only have one pint at half time, Cameron. That's pathetic. For you. Like,
Hammy only had one.
Hey, some of us were specified that we were only allowed one. Someday, Mr. Flirty over here got two, though. So.
Oh. <Mr. Flirty. laughs>
Cameron only got one.
Cameron risen up. oh dear. You've had
your dad did keep going to me, Simon, you are in there. That was literally just the most normal conversations.
The chemistry was electric. That's all I'll say.
You're going to get me in so much trouble.
I did hear, Simon, it was like watching Paul Hartley and Rudy Scatchell. The chemistry was that on that. You've had a good look at Toby Peters-Civic over the last few games.
Yeah.
He's got a year left on his contract. Do you think that was kind of putting him in the shop window a wee bit there, or do you feel he's going to play himself back into a squad?
It's coming into that sort of time where we've got to start thinking, do we offer him an extension or do we sell him? Or else we probably will just lose him for free.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think with our squad now, other than Civic, almost everyone plays in rotation. With Haring away, Halliday already loaned out already. You look at the whole squad, everyone could be starting now, and you're not like, oh, that's a week. You know what I mean?
Aye, we are definitely getting stronger. There was a time, maybe like last season, that you'd see our bench sometimes, you'd go, oh my God.
It was like, does feel like George Grant's ended up as the odd man out again.
He's been injured, hasn't he? He's missed quite a few games recently.
He's on the bench.
He was on the bench there. He's going to be back this week, but he missed a few before that. That's strong. I think all in all, with the season, Stephen Naismith has improved our squad, has individually improved our football players.
Yeah.
I'd think he definitely has, like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Look, I think he's found an extra level out of, like, most our squad. I think he's done very, very well, and I think Naismith deserves a lot of credit for his first year managing a senior team.
Yeah, I know we're kind of, I'm jumping ahead a wee bit, but see, like, when we went 3-1 down and Naismith just went, ah, fuck it, and we were just playing so attacking. We literally just had, like, Kent and Rolls on the centre of the park and everyone else was around the box. And seeing how good we looked doing that, I feel like we should just be doing that to teams maybe we didn't really think are that good at Tynecastle. I think we give teams far too much respect. And I think with the talent we've now got, we should be putting our foot on people's throats.
Yeah.
Be a bit braver.
Definitely. The squad improving, the new signings coming in the summer. Stephen Naismith will go and collect his faults, come back an even better manager after the summer as well. I have to tell you what, the Hearts are fucking back.
Will he be the manager at the start of the season, or do we have to do something silly again?
I think
no, he'll be there.
He will be there, and he'll have his badges.
I know he'll be there. It was just whether or not he had a different title.
No. He will be the manager. He's enrolled on his course, so he's allowed to.
Oh, it's like he's got a provisional.
Pretty much.
So he's allowed to drive the team as long as McAvoy's next to him.
Aye. It's exactly like that. I'm sure everyone's seen the Rangers game. We don't need to do a deep dive in it. Shanklin was great. I think that was the best Shanklin's played in a couple of months.
Aye. Highlight Shanklin, Hagawa, Clark. Kent got an assist, winning that head at the edge of the box.
Yep.
Aye, so many great performances.
Kind of Vargas, a bit frustrating again, you would have to say. Snatching the chances and things, but...
His movement's great. Did he just get the one assist, I think? He missed that absolute sitter of a header at the back post. But aye, I think if him and Oda can sort of stay fit and get a good run, I think they're really got good potential.
Yeah. I think, like I say, another year under Naismith, I think he'll get a tune. I think Vargas, I don't think we know where the ceiling is for Vargas, you know what I mean? Got a 5-year contract on the boy. Excuse me. And he's got, what, 9 goals, 10 goals for the season?
Yeah, I think that was his 10th.
Playing, you know, out wide, vast majority of the time. I think he could grow into quite the player over the next couple of years.
Hopefully.
Hopefully indeed. But listen, all a bit too positive, Hammy. I'm very intrigued to hear what Jambos Kickback have been saying over the last week.
Park away and don't talk a lot of shite.
Nothing positive here. Nothing negative here. Brilliant slip. I guess
he's gone. It's taken 4 years, but Kickback's broken.
Oh God, that tickled me. No, I want to just take us back to the anger that was coming from Jambos Kickback about the Rangers fans in hospitality and in Tynecastle in general. Someone says, time for the club to stamp down on the subhuman scum buying hospitality tickets in the Gorgie.
Wow.
Obese, triple chins, waddling arseholes. I don't know why it was so specific.
Tommy is done.
Oh, I think it's just the drink coming out of me again. Zombie on zombie action in the Roseburn. Gorgie looked like the usual welt behaviour you expect from these fuckers. Looked like a dad and quite a young laddie being punted out at one point. What a disgrace. Me and Cameron agree. That was a disgrace. We talked about it actually at the game. Remember, every one of them thought they were coming here today to watch their team crowned as champions. Their team's implosion over the last few games and then today has pushed them over the edge finally. They are going to be ridden again next week as well, and they know it. Mm-hmm. That is why they were all fighting amongst each other. And Noah says, I know it's sad, but does anyone else get a feeling of contentment when one of, or any of those cretins gets a slap from one of our lot? My days of this are over. I still like to see it. Yes, I know it's not clever, but sometimes a little bit light entertainment to break up the game is needed. Another one says, these silly fuckers thought they were going to win the league and this was their ticket to be there. Thanks for all the cash and hospitality, you fucking Muppets. Another one says, it's been covered, but absolute trumpets in the Gorgie stand. The club really needs to get a hold on this. Easier said than done, but we need to be stricter, police it more. That said, in a twisted way, it was good to see the people in Y all having each other's back when a ginger Burberry-wearing Hun was trying to act the hard man. He got seen to as well. Another one says, last one, so it says, I could hear quite clearly on Hearts TV their horrible rendition of the national anthem. I was never more delighted when Tagawa scored to shut them up, get it round every single one of the mutants. What is it about the scummy Old Firm fans at Tiny? Can we just ban them completely, or do we still have to give them minimum allocation next season? We'd love to just ban them all. It was pretty bad at points, but again, seeing them all very unhappy when we scored the third was great. We actually had them behind us. They were all right.
One of them wasn't.
They were pretty angry.
When Hearts scored their first, I could hear them talking about Dessers, who honestly was so fucking shy.
Aye.
talking about Dessers and all that. So when Hearts scored the first, I just instinctively stood up and turned around and went, yeah! Right in their face. Three of them, I started laughing, I was like, sorry. And then three of them like started having a laugh and shook my hand, and I was like, you'll get your own back and all that shite. And one of them just stone faced, did not even take any of it.
I don't think I really are some breed. What is the actual rules like? So you didn't need loyalty points to book hospitality. So they were allowed to be there, but you're just not meant to celebrate if you're one of the opposing, if you support the opposing team. Is that right?
I think there's like a bit in the email that they send you out, and it's just essentially it says like you've got to behave yourselves. Like is it a lot? I know, especially in the Gorgie Street, a lot of them are just bought by companies, and then so. You know, the Hearts don't have a real say on who goes. If company buys a 10-person table, then, you know, it could be anyone that's going. And, you know, been a hospitality at other clubs as well. And, yes, you know what to do. You just don't be an arsehole. But clearly that wasn't followed by quite a lot of people. I guess early drinking as well. It's funny when you go early to the games, you see people going into hospitality. They just come for that Tiny Arms in the corner. So if you've been sat in the pub drinking for a couple of hours, whatever, then going to hospitality, drink even longer. I mean, some of us, like us, can handle a drink, obviously. But there's no rules, and it's hard for Hearts to police. And it happens with all clubs as well.
Yeah, does it?
There's a funny thing, though, with the way Hearts now have it set up, with the fact that they've put the ultras right below that section.
So it is
a bit of an odd mix.
That was it. When all the ultras turned round at one point, you're like, oh, shit, something's kicking off here.
Right. So they were chanting, walking away the Rangers' way, as there was like 5 G4S at hospitality. You're going, but it just made the Rangers fans look like idiots. But I think they refused to leave. And then it looked like the police refused to get involved. They stood in the bottom of the stairs. Fuck knows.
It was all very haphazard. At one point, there was like 2 police sitting in the stand, like just below us as well, a few rows below us. We're like, what are they doing? They just sat there watching the game. But it was, again, I guess for the police point of view, it's quite difficult going into a crowd full of drunk football fans as well. If it's just one or two of them.
A bit reckless. But I feel like we've stopped this with Celtic now by putting like you have to have a couple of loyalty points to be able to book anything when we're playing against Celtic, and I'm sure we stopped the corporate hospitality when we've played Celtic at home as well to stop Celtic fans even getting in there. So maybe we're gonna have to start doing the same thing when we play Rangers. Simple as that.
Might need to.
Andrew McKinley must condemn. Good. Well, that's not quite your last ever Jambles Kickback, is it, Hammy? You're going to work on something maybe a wee bit special for the last ever podcast next week. So we look forward to that. But thank you once again. But Cameron, this is your last ever buy or sell as it wraps up. Are you emotional as you open up your wee spreadsheet there?
Oh, the last time I'll ever open up this Excel. Say farewell to it. It's been a pleasure. But I have run out of questions. So it's time. So just a roundup. That was the last set of questions last week. So you're getting the final ever set of scores. So Hearts to finish in style with at least 4 points in the last week. Nope. But it didn't feel bad. I don't know.
No.
Shankland hit 25 league goals that looked on in the first half. Fell one short at 24. A red card in either game this week just because I had to chuck that back in. Nope. Tagawa has scored this week. I feel like we willed this into existence. And then, of course, it wouldn't be this without being let down again with the pyro. But I will continue my campaign out with the podcast arena from here. So, and this is the only time this has happened in the 4 years that we've done this, but Twitter and Instagram both scored zero for the second week running, which means across those last potential 9 points, 18 across both of them, they scored none.
That's crazy.
Simon scored one. Myself, Jarvey and Paddy on two, and Hammy were the only person to get to three this week. So where that leaves us is in last place for the season. On 58, it's Jarvey. Paddy, still down there, but not actually in the bottom this time, on 59. It's a three-way tie for a winner amongst us, with 61 for me, Simon and Hammy, and a 62 apiece for the
Socials. Oh, wow.
So close, yet
that's
so
me
far.
Me come first and second. That is crazy.
So there you go. It's been emotional. It's been a pleasure. See you later. I've just shut the dock. Didn't even save it.
It feels like the end of a family-friendly program where all the enemies and goodies have become friends in that. But it's all ties. Ties between social media. Ties between the three of you and me and Paddy shafted. Just like on Saturday when you went to hospitality and me and Paddy weren't they?
Paddy wasn't even at the game.
He wasn't even at the game. Good stuff. Well, thank you, Cameron, for your four loyal years on the spreadsheet. And most of the time, Hammy, because you've missed about half the podcast. Well, there you have it then. Join us next week for the finale, which will be good fun. The season long predictions, have a look at our season long wagers, and a big quiz. And I've got some good stuff up my sleeve for the podcast as well. And I'm hoping you're all committing to having at least three cans before we start. Is that a safe number?
Aye, I'll do something.
I will.
He's like, oh, I thought that was for this week. If we can all commit to being a wee bit tipsy, at least that'd be nice. Don't follow us on social media anymore because it doesn't matter. You can't play on with buy or sell. And just join us next week and enjoy it. Proper last day of school vibes. Last day off school. That's why. Take care of yourselves. Goodbye.